This is Audible.
Time Warner Audiobooks presents Simple Abundance, Living by Your Own Lights, written by Sarah Benbranek and presented by the author.
Often, people attempt to live their lives backwards. They try to have more things or more money in order to do more of what they want so that they will be happier. The way it actually works is the reverse. You must first be who you really are, then do what you need to do in order to have what you want. Margaret Young.
Several years ago, after I'd published two books celebrating 19th century domestic life, I was about to begin writing one on Victorian decorative details. But the thought of ruminating on ruffles and flourishes for a year brought dread to my heart. What I wanted to write was a book that would show me how to reconcile my deepest spiritual, authentic, and creative longings with often overwhelming and conflicting commitments. Commitments to my family, work at home, work in the world, friends, and community. I knew I wasn't the only woman hurtling through real life as if it were an out-of-body experience. I knew I wasn't the only woman frazzled, depressed, worn to a raveling. But I also knew I certainly wasn't the woman with the answers. I didn't even know the questions. I wanted so much. Money, success, recognition, genuine creative expression. But I had absolutely no clue as to what I truly needed. At times, my passionate hungers were so voracious I could only deal with them through denial. I was a workaholic, careaholic, and perfectionist. I couldn't remember the last time I was kind to myself. Was I ever? More often than it feels comfortable to admit, I was an angry, envious woman, constantly comparing myself to others, only to become resentful because of what seemed to be missing from my life, although I couldn't have told you what it was. This secret sense of longing contributed to a perpetual state of guilt because I share my life with a marvelous man and our smart, sweet, witty, beautiful child, whom I adore. I had so much, but I felt as if I didn't have the right to want more. Money was an enormous, emotionally charged issue that controlled my ability to be happy because I let it. Money was the only way I could measure my success and self-worth. If I couldn't write a check on my accomplishments, they didn't exist. Frustrated and unable to fathom why some people seemed to lead much more fulfilling lives, I careened between feeling that I was frittering my life away to sensing that I was sacrificing it on the altar of my own ambitions. I was a woman in desperate need of simple abundance. But before Simple Abundance could be written, I had to take stock of what was working in my life and what wasn't. Perhaps for the first time, I had to be ruthlessly honest, both inwardly and outwardly. During this time of profound introspection, six practical, creative, and spiritual principles – gratitude, simplicity, order, harmony, beauty, and joy – became the catalysts that helped me define a life of my own. One morning, I awoke to the realization that almost imperceptibly, I'd become happy, experiencing more moments of contentment than distress. Feeling confident again, I proposed writing a downshifting lifestyle book for people who want, as I do, to live by their own lights. While I wrote for 2 years, Simple Abundance underwent an extraordinary metamorphosis, as I did. On the page every morning, spirituality, authenticity, and creativity converged into an intimate search for wholeness. I began writing about eliminating clutter and ended up on a safari of the self and spirit. No one is more astonished by this than I am. As Simple Abundance evolved from creating a manageable lifestyle into living in a state of grace, I began to barely recognize the woman I once was. Simple Abundance has enabled me to encounter everyday epiphanies, find the sacred in the ordinary, the mystical in the mundane, fully enter into the sacrament of the present moment. I've made the unexpected but thrilling discovery that everything in my life is significant enough to be a continuous source of reflection, revelation, and reconnection. And I'm talking about bad hair, mood swings, carpools, excruciating deadlines, overdrawn bank accounts, dirty floors, grocery shopping, exhaustion, illness, nothing to wear, unexpected company, even the final 25 or 50 pounds. Simple Abundance has reminded me what to do with a few loaves and fishes, and has shown me how to spin straw into gold. Simple Abundance has given me the transcendent awareness that an authentic life is the most personal form of worship. Everyday life, how I celebrate it, consecrate it, cherish it, has become my prayer. Writing Simple Abundance has brought me to the awareness that the reason I was so unhappy, frustrated, resentful, envious, and angry was because I wasn't living the real life for which I was created, an authentic life. I try to now. At least I can now recognize boundaries. What's more, I'm gradually starting to set them. For any of us living in the late 1990s, this is nothing less than miraculous. Now I realize that abundance and lack are parallel realities. Every day I make the choice of which one to inhabit. Now I understand that all my hours aren't billable. Finding a quiet center in which to create and sustain an authentic life has become as essential as breathing. I know all this because at the heart of the Simple Abundance journey is an exhilarating and earth-rumbling awakening, one that has utterly changed how I view myself and my daily round. The authentic self is the soul made visible. Simple Abundance was originally written as a daybook containing one short essay or meditation for each day of the year. This audio version contains the essence of that book, but instead of 366 short essays that guide us through a year-long journey, this program is divided into six sections, one for each of the six principles. And by the way, the music that you'll be hearing on this tape is the music I listened to during the writing of Simple Abundance. I hope you'll enjoy the exquisite artistry of pianist Kelly Yost as much as I do. And one final note. I originally wrote Simple Abundance for women. Many of the comments are directed toward women, and many of the examples are drawn more from a woman's world than a man's. But in the many Simple Abundance workshops I have presented, I have seen this message touch both women and men. The need and the ability to live a simply abundant life are not limited to one gender. So please don't be put off if some of the examples that follow do not seem to fit your life. If you use these principles, your authentic self, male or female, will help you journey past the darkness of complicated need and into the light of simple abundance.
You only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough. Joe E. Lewis.
How often in the past have you turned away from all that is unresolved in your heart because you feared the questioning? What if you knew that a year from today you could be living the most creative, joyous, and fulfilling life you could imagine? What would it be? What changes would you make? How and where would you begin? Do you see why the questions are so important? The German poet Rainer Maria Rilke urges us, Be patient toward all that is unsolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. The answers to your questions will come, but only after you know which ones are worth asking. Wait. Live your questions. Then ask. Become open to the changes that the answers will inevitably bring. At the heart of Simple Abundance is an authentic awakening, one that resonates within your soul. You already possess all you need to be genuinely happy. The way you reach that awareness is through an inner journey that brings about an emotional, psychological, and spiritual transformation. A deep inner shift in your reality occurs, aligning you with the creative energy of the universe. Such change is possible when you invite Spirit to open up the eyes of your awareness to the abundance that is already yours. There are 6 principles that will act as guides as we make our inner journey. These are the 6 threads of abundant living, which, when woven together, produce a tapestry of contentment that wraps us in inner peace, well-being, happiness, and a sense of security. First, there is gratitude. When we do a mental and spiritual inventory of all that we have, we realize that we are very rich indeed. Gratitude gives way to simplicity. The desire to clear out, pare down, and realize the essential of what we need to live truly well. Simplicity brings with it order, both internally and externally. A sense of order in our life brings us harmony. Harmony provides us with the inner peace we need to appreciate the beauty that surrounds us each day. And beauty opens us up to joy. But just as with any beautiful needlepoint tapestry, it is difficult to see where one stitch ends and another begins. So it is with simple abundance. Pick up the needle with me and make the first stitch on the canvas of your life. Invite Spirit to open up the eyes of your inner awareness. Be still and wait expectantly, knowing that in the warp and woof of your daily life as it exists today are the golden threads of a simply abundant tomorrow. There are several tools that I'm going to suggest you use as you begin your inner exploration. While all of them will help you become happier and more content and will nurture your creativity, this first tool could change the quality of your life beyond belief. It's what I call a daily gratitude journal. I have a beautiful blank book, and each night before I go to bed, I write down 5 things that I can be grateful about that day. Some days my list will be filled with amazing things, but most days just simple joys, such as Mikey, my little cat, got lost in a fierce storm, but I found him shivering, wet, but unharmed. Or I listened to Puccini while cleaning and remembered how much I love opera. Other days, rough ones, I might think that I don't have 5 things to be grateful for. So I'll write down my basics, my health, my family, their health, my animals, my home, my friends, and the comfortable bed that I'm about to get into, as well as the fact that the day is over. That's okay. Real life isn't always going to be perfect or go our way, but the recurring acknowledgement of what is working in our lives can help us not only survive, but surmount our difficulties. The gratitude journal has to be the first step on the simple abundance path, or it just won't work for you. Simplicity, order, harmony, beauty, and joy, all the other principles that can transform your life, will not blossom and flourish without gratitude. If you want to travel this journey with me, the gratitude journal is not an option. Why? Because you simply will not be the same person 2 months from now after consciously giving thanks each day for the abundance that already exists in your life. and you will have set in motion an ancient spiritual law. The more you have and are grateful for, the more will be given you. I've told you that the Simple Abundance Path is a transformative process. We're going to work on one principle at a time, weaving that principle into the fabric of our daily life. The Simple Abundance journey takes us to undiscovered territory. We learn each day how cultivating gratitude tills the soil of our souls, and then how the seeds of simplicity and order send their roots down deep into the earth of our everyday existence. As we progress, harmony inspires us with quiet courage to create an authentic life for ourselves and those we love. With patience, beauty blossoms, and our hearts experience not only happiness, which is often fleeting, but a wellspring of joy that refreshes and renews. We have found our true place in the world. With an eye made quiet by the power of harmony and the deep power of joy, William Wordsworth wrote, "We see into the life of things." Seeing into the life of things is what engages us at this point in the transformative process. From deep within, there comes a longing to give up the path of struggle as a way to learn life's lessons. Finally, we are ready to embrace the path of joy. Few motivational talks have influenced or inspired as many people as the famous Victorian lecture that was known as Acres of Diamonds. Russell H. Conwell, a former newspaper correspondent and minister, delivered his speech more than 6,000 times between 1877 and 1925. When it was published, it became an immediate bestseller and a classic in inspirational literature. The story Conwell told in his lecture had enormous appeal. It recounted the life of a Persian farmer named Ali Hafad, who sold his farm and left his family to travel the world in search of wealth. He looked everywhere, but he could not find the diamonds he lusted after. Finally, alone and in despair as a homeless pauper, he ended his own life. His search for riches had consumed him. In the meantime, the man who bought the land from Hafad was grateful for every blade of grass that was his and lavished love and hard work on his farm. At night, surrounded by his family and eating the fruits of his labor, he was a contented man. Finally, one day, he made a remarkable discovery. In the backyard that Ali Hafad had abandoned was a diamond mine, literally an acre of diamonds. The simple farmer became wealthy beyond his wildest dreams. Conwell used this parable to illustrate an extraordinary and wonderful message. With each of us lies a wellspring of abundance and the seeds of opportunity. For each of us, there is a deeply personal dream waiting to be discovered and fulfilled. When we cherish our dream and then invest love, creative energy, perseverance, and passion in ourselves, we will achieve authentic success. Where is your acre of diamonds? If you could do anything in the world, what would it be? Yes, I mean that very thing right now that you believe is absolutely impossible. Would you open a store, nurture a family, design a dress, build a house, or write a screenplay? We all have an acre of diamonds waiting to be discovered, cherished, and mined. We all have a place from where to begin. Let your imagination soar, for it is your soul's brilliant blueprint for success. On the Simple Abundance Path, you will discover that your own opportunity for personal success, authentic happiness, and financial serenity is as close as your own backyard. For some of us, the thought of trusting a power outside ourselves to help make our dreams come true is definitely a threatening concept, especially if we're used to being in control, or rather, used to the illusion of being in control. Many more of us go through life trapped by another illusion, that an uncaring, capricious fate determines our destiny. Shell-shocked from some of the acutely miserable things that life throws our way, we are deeply afraid to believe that a loving, generous, creative force supports our endeavors. We are afraid to trust that the same spirit that created the universe probably knows how to help us write the grant, get the promotion, go back to school, start our new business, find the new job. Like mirrors in a carnival funhouse that distort appearances, what we see with our eyes is not real. We buy into the illusion that external events possess the ultimate power to deny our dreams. And then we wonder why we're so unhappy. Let go of limiting illusions that have held you back from knowing that just to be alive is a grand thing. Suspend disbelief. Experiment with a loving, supportive universe that embraces even skeptics. Be willing to believe that a companion spirit is leading you every step of the way and knows the next step. There are basic tools, such as writing a daily dialogue, working with an illustrated discovery journal, playing with a treasure map collage, and a golden mirror meditation, that have helped me on the simple abundance path to authenticity. Use them together as I do, or begin to use whichever one sounds intriguing. See if you can't give yourself the gift of 1 hour a day to journey within. You need enough breathing space to allow your heart to ponder what is truly precious. Or perhaps you can let your imagination soar to the twilight where dreams first dwell. If you feel a solid hour is too much of a luxury in the beginning, it isn't, but we'll go gently. Break up the time during the day. Start with a half hour in the morning and another half hour before you retire in the evening. Most days after my inner excursion is over, it appears as if nothing has happened that has dramatically changed my life. I have just spent an hour alone. I'm not aware of any new insights, inspiration, or guidance. But sometimes I'm able to bring the larger picture into sharper focus. You will too. This much I do know. If you go deep enough, often enough, something good is bound to come back to you. Very often, glimmers of the inspiration I desire or the insights I need will come later in the day when I'm driving the carpool or preparing supper. But whether or not revelations have been part of my morning, each day offers its own gift.
I will write myself into well-being. Nancy Mayer.
Because I write all day professionally and work very hard at my craft and art, most of my adult life I have passionately resisted keeping a personal journal. It just seemed like too much effort, and I really didn't have the time. But when I embarked on the Simple Abundance path, I became aware of all the conversations that I continuously carry on with myself. There was rarely a quieting of my mind. Instead, I'd hear, "The cat's acting funny. Is she sick? If the Cleveland airport gets snowed in on Thursday, how will I get home? Am I ever going to get paid again? We need new slipcovers in the living room. The old ones are starting to look shabby." And so forth. I discovered that my mind will grab hold of a single thought like a pit bull terrier with a bone and not let it go until I'm exhausted or have lost interest. One day, desperate to quiet the voice in my head, I took a spiral notebook and began having a conversation with myself on the paper. Everything I was worried about just spilled out in a rapid stream of consciousness. What I was doing was not so much recording the events in my life as much as eliminating the mental minutiae that was depleting my creative energy and driving me crazy. I was then able to let go and get on with the day. Groan and forget it, the writer Jessamine West advises. She's right. This ritual became very centering and therapeutic. I've been doing my daily dialogue for several years now, and while I may sometimes skip a few days, I always look forward to checking in with my consciousness, because this inner tool really works. It clears my head and calms my restless spirit. It'll do the same for you. Interestingly, after a while, the pages take on a life of their own. I call this ritual the daily dialogue because you are really conversing with someone much wiser and saner as you write, your authentic self. The key to loving how you live is knowing what it is you truly love. To know what you prefer instead of humbly saying amen to what the world tells you you ought to prefer is to keep your soul alive, Robert Louis Stevenson reminds us. Keeping our soul alive and nurturing our creativity is what interests us now. One of the most pleasurable ways to start finding out your personal preferences is by creating an illustrated discovery journal. This is your explorer's log as you begin to make your way into the darkest terra incognita, your authentic inner world. We feed our imaginations and get in touch with our authenticity by gathering together beautiful images that speak to our souls. Today, or as soon as you can, get a blank, black-bound artist sketchbook at an art supply store. I like the 9x12-inch size because it gives a large space to dream on paper. Also, you'll need a pair of sharp scissors, rubber cement, and your favorite magazines. Put them all in a basket and keep it by your bed. At night, before you go to bed, when you're in a drowsy, relaxed, and receptive state, flip through the magazines. When you see an image you love, cut it out and paste it in your book. Don't try to arrange the pictures in any specific sort of way. Make no judgments. Let the collages you are creating simply evolve. You didn't know that the sun-drenched colors of Santa Fe called to you. Then why do they keep popping up in your pictures? You thought American country was your style, but rose-covered chintz is what you're collecting on paper. Isn't that interesting? Here is an occasion when one picture speaks a thousand words. Meditating on one visual image a day can jumpstart your creativity and lead to revealing insights. Soon they will give you directions about where your heart wants you to go. I've also added quotes, sketches, greeting cards, and art postcards to my discovery journal, crafting with paper what the poet W.H. Auden called a map of my planet. No self-respecting, swashbuckling buccaneer would set out in search of buried treasure without a map. Why should you? A personal treasure map is a collage of your ideal life that you create as a visual tool to focus your creative energy in the direction you wish to go. First of all, you'll have to visualize your ideal life. When you have a few moments to get quiet and go within, if it's safe for you to do so while listening to this program, close your eyes. But please do not attempt the following reverie while driving or operating machinery. Now, see how you live and who lives with you. What does your dream house look like? What part of the country is it in? Do you have children? How many? What type of garden do you have? Is there a gazebo in the backyard or a swimming pool? Do you have any pets? What kind of car is parked in the driveway? What kind of job do you have? Are you publishing your own newsletter, directing a feature film, or raising thoroughbred horses? Now see if you can't find pictures in magazines to match your ideal life. Cut them out and create a collage on an 8x10 piece of poster board. If you can't find images to match your dreams, tap into the creativity deep within and draw a picture. When you're finished, find a photograph of yourself that you especially like. Make sure it's a picture of you looking radiant and happy. Cut yourself out and place yourself in the center of your treasure map collage. When making your personal treasure map, think fun. Think delight. Think 7 years old. This is not an intellectual exercise in existentialism. This is a wish list to the universe. Our deepest wishes are whispers of our authentic selves. When we learn to respect them, we learn to listen. Put your ear down next to your soul and listen hard, the poet Anne Sexton advises. For years, I have used a special meditation I call the Golden Mirror Meditation. I visualize in my mind an enormous mirror the size of a room with an elaborately carved 24-karat gold frame. This is my materializing mirror. Those dreams I wish to materialize in my life are first viewed here. Find a few minutes to get quiet and journey within. Close your eyes. Visualize a beautiful, large golden mirror surrounded by shimmering white light. This light is love, and it surrounds you, enfolds you, enwraps you, and protects you as you look into the mirror. See the reflection of an extraordinary person. She is beautiful and radiant. She possesses a strong, healthy, vibrant aura. Her eyes are sparkling, and she is smiling warmly at you. Do you know who this person is? You feel as if you have known her all your life. And you have. She is your authentic self. Spend a few moments with her now. What is she doing? How is she doing it? Visit her as often as you like. She is waiting patiently to help you find your way as you begin to make the journey to self-discovery.
The eyes of my eyes are opened. E.E. Cummings.
The first simple abundance principle is gratitude. Gratitude is the thread we weave into the fabric of our daily round, giving thanks for our simply abundant lives and asking for the gift of one thing more, grateful hearts. Has this ever happened to you? You pick up a book, and a sentence leaps off the page as if it had been written just for you. Or you hear a revelation in the lyrics of a song. Sometimes an angel seems to whisper in your ear. One ordinary morning, I realized I was emotionally and physically exhausted from concentrating on things I wanted to buy but couldn't afford. I felt trapped in a vicious circle. The more I focused on lack and on what I couldn't have, the more depressed I became. The more depressed I became, the more I focused on lack. My soul whispered that what I really yearned for was not financial security, but financial serenity. I was still, quiet enough to listen. At that moment, I acknowledged the deepest longing in my heart. What I hungered for was an inner peace that the world could not take away. I asked for help and committed to following wheresoever spirit might lead me. For the first time in my life, I discarded my 5-year goals and became a seeker, a pilgrim, a sojourner. When I surrendered my desire for security and sought serenity instead, I looked at my life with open eyes. I saw that I had much for which to be grateful. I felt humbled by my riches and regretted that I took for granted the abundance that already existed in my life. How could I expect more from the universe when I didn't appreciate what I already had? Immediately, I made an inventory of my life's assets. My health, my family, their health, our home, small but comfortable, and 3 precious pets who daily bring me faithful companionship and great joy. There's always plenty of good food on the table and wine in the pantry. We are also blessed with many wonderful friends who care deeply about us and share in our lives. Once I started, my list grew. I loved my work. It was being sent out into the world and had been well received. I truly believe that what you give to the world will be returned to you, maybe not all at once or in the way you expect it, but if you give your very best, the very best will come back to you. Now was the moment to live my beliefs. When I looked at my life's ledger, I realized I was a very rich woman. What I was experiencing was merely a temporary cash flow problem. Finally, I came to an inner awareness that my personal net worth couldn't possibly be determined by the size of my checking account balance. Neither can yours. It doesn't matter how awareness arrives. What matters is that it comes. My heart began to overflow with gratefulness. I started giving thanks for everything. Daisies in a jelly jar on my kitchen windowsill. The sweet fragrance of my daughter's hair after she had first washed it. The first sip of tea in the morning. Pork roast with apples and cranberries for Sunday supper. Hearing the words, "I love you," before I went to sleep. Each day began to offer me authentic moments of pleasure and contentment. But hadn't they before? The difference was that I was now noticing and appreciating each day's gifts. The power of gratefulness caught me by surprise. All I ask you to do today is to open the eyes of your eyes and give your life another glance. Are your basic needs met? Do you have a home, food on the table, clothes to wear? Is there a regular paycheck coming in? Do you have dreams? Do you have your health? Can you walk, talk, see the beauty that surrounds you, listen to music that stirs your soul or makes your feet want to boogie? Do you have family and friends whom you love and who love you? Then pause for a moment and give thanks. Let your heart awaken to the transforming power of gratefulness. Be open to exchanging your need for emotional and financial security for serenity. No trumpets sound when the important decisions of our life are made, Agnes DeMille reminds us. Destiny is made known silently.
My business is not to remake myself, but make the absolute best of what God made. Robert Browning.
Making the absolute best of ourselves is not an easy task. It's a pleasurable pursuit. It's the reason we were born. But it requires patience, persistence, and perseverance. For many of us, it also requires prayer. That's because we find it far easier to learn to live by our own lights when we access a higher source of power to illuminate our path. The filmmaker and writer Julia Cameron calls this switching on spiritual electricity that transcends our own limitations. In my own journey, I have found this to be very true. Usually, I limited the times I requested that the power be turned on to the occasions when I was appearing in public, giving workshops, lecturing, holding business meetings. Then it occurred to me that this was like living in a house with electricity, but turning on the lights only for a couple of hours every few months. And I wondered why I was frequently bumping into obstacles. So I started to ask for the power to be switched on in my daily round, as a mother, a wife, a writer, and a friend. When I asked, it was turned on. When I didn't, I stayed in the dark. You don't have to be a master electrician to understand what's going on here. Someone has to turn on the switch. Asking is the way of activating spiritual electricity. When there is light, we see remarkably well. We see with clarity. And what we can see, if we look deep within, is that the authentic self is the soul made visible. Don't try to remake yourself into something you're not. Just try making the best of what God created. The sacred art and craft of nurturing our souls and the souls of those we love is Simple Abundance Soulcraft. Begin today by asking and turning on the light. Many creation myths say that it took only 6 days to make the world. It will take us a little longer to remake our own. But we can begin where Spirit did by declaring that there be light to illuminate our journey to self-discovery. The Quaker tradition teaches that this light is within each of us. The Quakers, or members of the Religious Society of Friends, are a perfect example of individuals who manage the delicate balance of living in the world but not belonging to it. This is because they refuse to segment their lives into the sacred and the secular. Instead, Quakers believe that all of life's daily experiences are spiritual in nature, from preparing a family meal to protesting political policy. The British writer George Gorman has observed that the essence of Quaker spirituality is the certainty that everything we do has religious significance. It is not cutting ourselves off from life, but entering deeply and fully into it. Simplicity is the common thread that stitches together Quaker lives, homes, and dress. Their weekly worship service, or meeting, is a silent meditation. Rhythm, reverence, and reflection are their hallmarks. These touchstones can help us as well as we attempt to remake our personal world. Restoring a sense of rhythm to our lives is the first step. How much rhythm do you have in your personal world? Children are not the only ones who need regular bedtimes, mealtimes, and quiet times. Their parents do too. Think of the steady, reassuring rhythm of the natural world, the ebb and flow of the tides, the recurring cycle of the four seasons, the monthly phases of the moon, and the daily progression from day into night. Rhythm needs to be the cornerstone in our personal world as well. All of us lead busy lives, some more frantic and frazzled than others. We need to learn where to draw the line and how to say no. Be willing to reflect quietly on the role that rhythm plays in your daily life. Your heart will always tell you what's working and what's not. Restoring rhythm to the way you conduct your affairs can bring you contentment and a sense of well-being that will nurture and sustain you when the cares of the world can't be left behind. Most of us feel more secure when we play it safe. We wear a string of pearls, for example, instead of the hand-painted glass beads we glimpsed and passed up at the crafts fair. Yet it is precisely those red and purple glass beads around the neck of another woman that stops us dead in our tracks. "Wow," we mumble as we pass her on the street, "that looks fantastic." We also wonder how she knew it would. She probably didn't. She probably just took a leap in the dark and trusted her instincts. She trusted her own sense of style. The necklace whispered, "Try me," and she listened. She played at living, in a small way to be sure, but relevant all the same, by taking a chance. Psychologist Susan Jeffers suggests that we take a risk a day, one small or bold stroke that makes you feel great once you've done it. Today, take a real risk that can change your life. Start thinking of yourself as an artist and your life as a work in progress. Works in progress are never perfect, but changes can be made to the rough draft during rewrites. Another color can be added to the canvas. The film can be tightened during editing. Art evolves. So does life. Art is never stagnant. Neither is life. The beautiful, authentic life you are creating for yourself and those you love is your art. It's the highest art.
It's a funny thing about life. If you refuse to accept anything but the best, you very often get it. W. Somerset Maugham.
When I was beginning the Simple Abundance path and began to wean myself away from worldly distractions for several months by choosing not to read magazines or newspapers, not to watch the news, and especially not to go shopping, except for groceries and essential kids' clothing, the symptoms I experienced were similar to withdrawal pains. At times, I actually felt achy, shaky, and even dizzy. When this occurred, my authentic self would reassure my conscious self, who didn't think much of the new program, that I was undergoing a deep inner shift in reality. What I was learning to differentiate was between my needs and my wants, and this powerful lesson had to be mastered before I could move forward. I had to learn what I could live without. Whatever I needed, I could budget for. In other words, I could have. But self-knowledge had to come first. When you learn what you can live without, you're able to ask life for the very best because you possess the gift of discernment. You develop patience that enables you to wait gracefully and gratefully until the best arrives because you know it will. You're able to create an authentic life for yourself and those you love because you're able to make conscious choices. Long afterwards, she was to remember that moment when her life changed its direction, Evelyn Anthony writes in her novel, The Avenue of the Dead. It was not predestined. She had a choice. Or it seemed she had. To accept or refuse. To take one turning down the crossroads to the future or another. Today, turning away from the world and towards your own happiness is the path of authenticity.
Grace strikes us when we are in great pain and restlessness. Sometimes, at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness, and it is as though a voice were saying, "You are accepted." Paul Johannes Tillich.
When we practice switching on the spiritual electricity that Julia Cameron speaks of in her wonderful book, The Artist's Way, A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity, what should we expect? More energy and inspiration? Amazing and delightful coincidences? And the ability to accomplish goals with grace? Yes, certainly. That has at least been my experience. But one thing you might not expect, one thing that might throw you, is how dissatisfied you may feel when the power is not present, when you're in the dark and left to your own devices because you forgot to turn the switch on. I've learned that asking is the only way to activate spiritual electricity. It's always there for me, but I always have to ask for it. The dissatisfaction you can feel when the switch is off manifests itself in different ways. Suddenly you don't like any room in your house. Decorating mistakes from past lives haunt you. Your clothes don't fit or look right on you anymore. You're bored with the meals you're cooking. You're sick of opening the front hall closet and covering your head. But worse, that expansive, even giddy hopefulness that came from starting to weave gratitude into your life gives way to restless discontent. You begin to think that the simple abundance path might work for some people, but it's not right for you. Hold on. As the English historian Dame Cicely Veronica Wedgwood points out, discontent and disorder are signs of energy and hope, not of despair. What is going on is part of the process, and the process is working. I call it divine discontent. It is the grit in the oyster that becomes the pearl. This creative second chance is when we come into our own, when we finally claim our own lives and wrestle